Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Good morning to you if you are waking up on your Monday. Let's go up and at them. Time to start a new week. Usually my dog Penny is a morning person of sorts, but not at this present time. She is with me in the rental house that's now serving as my office. I actually got to commute a whole half mile to start the show and to host the show this morning. Penny comes with me because she goes where I go, where especially right now, because she's nervous about being left behind every time I get close to a door. In fact, she's guarding the door most of the time. And every chance that I get close to a door, she thinks, okay, we're ready to go. So she came with me to the rental house, the old house, to do the show. And you can kind of see around her, there's no furniture or anything. Anyway, I posted the picture on Twitter, A-Law Radio. She's conked out. I mean, this whole moving process is obviously very exhausting for Penny. I'll put it up on Facebook when I have an opportunity, but you can check it out on Twitter. Again, A-Law Radio, also on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. We're asking you your interest in the golf tournament over the weekend. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Just over a half hour from now, Matt Adams will join us live from the Golf Channel, and we'll get his thoughts on the return for the PGA and also moving forward now the next 4 weeks, essentially in the same process. The NASCAR drivers will tell you that there are a lot of hoops to jump through and that it's very different from what they're used to. But now the tracks are welcoming back a few fans, a handful of fans. And if you consider that Talladega holds more than 100,000 fans, in fact, you consider infield and then people who are, you know, parking and driving their RVs onto the property, plus the drivers, NASCAR personnel on a regular standard race weekend, Talladega becomes the third largest city in Alabama. That's how many people are crowded in, 225,000 people if you are at capacity and it's, you know, it's full operations. It will not be like that this weekend, obviously. And because this is a track that I love, I had season tickets to Talladega for more than 10 years, have been there so many times. It's a track that I have seen some of the greatest racing ever, and it will always be something special to me. I can't even imagine it empty. There were times when we would go, not all the time, but a couple times we went on Saturdays for some of the other races or the qualifying, and it was quieter, but never empty, not 5,000 fans empty. And so I'm really intrigued to see what it's like and if it sounds any different. Obviously not the same on TV as in person, but every sport and every athlete is having to adjust. And I just can't right now. I can't even start to think about next season or a second wave. I refuse to go down that rabbit hole where I'm reading the projections and the predictions and the guesses and what it's going to look like, because we're humans and things change. And we clearly, over the last 3 months, showed the ability to take precautions and to follow health and safety protocols. And in some places, the numbers are continuing to decrease. In others, you're seeing a spike. It's hard to know how to pinpoint the exact cause, right? What if it's in a place where there were hundreds of thousands of protesters that were out in the streets? I mean, it's hard to know exactly what causes it, but certainly there have been some numbers where there are increased cases, and it's not just in the United States. There are places around the world where you're seeing some of the same trends. It's just an inexact science. I mean, everyone says follow the science, but it's an inexact science, and there's no way to know exactly what's going to happen. So when I hear people talk about how the entire 2021 NBA season is going to be held without fans, I have to put it aside. There's no way that I can process that or wrap my brain around it, and I can't get that far ahead. For heaven's sakes, they haven't even returned to finish up the 1920 season. I can't start dealing with 2021 yet. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. These are challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact the team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. I am confident there will be a baseball season. Why? Because that's the only thing the two sides can agree on. They cannot agree on how much money players should be paid or how much of the revenue they should be sharing. They can't agree on how many games they should mandate. They can't agree on when they should start and how they should start. They really can't agree on anything except that there will be baseball. And here's how they know that. Commissioner Rob Manfred has the power to mandate the number of games and the start time, starting line. We'll call it a starting line. He can say to the players on Monday, show up here, get ready to play. You start games on this date, period. End of sentence. The players have no recourse unless they want to strike, but they wouldn't dare, because if they strike, the labor deal goes out the window and they make zero money. It's not realistic that they would not show up. And in fact, they've indicated they will. Once they're told when and where, they will show up. Again, they know that if they don't play at all in 2020, they make zero money. The owners are more insulated and more prepared to absorb an entire shutdown. So a full season without any revenue. And in fact, if the owners stand to lose money, in some cases, they will say to you, it's better that we don't play. That's not going to happen. The commissioner said he will mandate a start date if it comes to that, and it appears as though it has come to that. The latest proposal from the owners to the players was rejected before it was even read. They didn't even bother. The union has responded with a statement. I won't read it all, but it's cryptic. And it points the fingers at the owners, just like the owners are pointing the fingers at the players. It's gross. Not quite as gross as the refrigerator that I have to clean in my new house. I wish I had looked more closely when I did my final walkthrough, but unfortunately, I did not see the crusted food, the egg stains. I swear they're egg stains because it's yellow all over the inside. I mean, there's hair in the fridge. So completely disgusting that I nearly gagged multiple times when I spent 2 hours cleaning it this weekend. That's kind of how I feel about Major League Baseball, except I'm over it. In the case of my fridge and my new house, I have to deal with it. I have to face it. I'm going to have to spend another hour probably before I finish. I took the whole refrigerator apart. I mean, every little bracket and piece apart in the dishwasher, and then cleaning it on top of that, and then using Lysol kitchen cleaner and then Windex and disinfecting. And oh my God, it was so gross that the floor in front of the fridge as I was wiping it out turned black. That's how disgusting. Ah! I don't even want to tell you about it because it skeeves me out talking about it. However, that I have to deal with. This ridiculous stalemate, this old, tired debate, this stubbornness on the side of players and owners, I'm over it. I don't actually need to. Well, I mean, I do need to because of my job. But as a fan, I don't need to keep reading your statements back and forth. I don't need to keep following your shots over the wall. Nope. I'm ready for Rob Manfred to say, show up here, show up then, and we start play on this date. And according to Tony Clark, the executive director of the union, that's what the players want too. Great. We're all in agreement. Let's go then. In a statement on Saturday night, Clark said further dialogue with the league would be futile. To resist is futile. It's time to get back to work. Tell us when and where. Well, good. That sounds promising. Let's get back to work then. I don't care anymore about your feelings. I don't care about your frustrations. I don't care about your anger. I don't care about your stubbornness. I don't care about how much money you stand to lose. Nope. You don't care about my money. Why should I care about yours? I'm done. I tried to be empathetic. I tried to understand. Nobody wants to take a pay cut. I get it. Nobody wants to lose billions of dollars in revenue. But you know what? That's what 2020 is all about for everyone. I'm done caring. I'm done trying to be empathetic. I'm done trying to be sympathetic. I'm done. I'm done with all of it. I'm waiting for Rob Manfred now to say, let's go. Here's how many games show up on this date, period. Good. Let's go. Let's play ball. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I don't care about your disappointments. I don't care about your pain. I know it makes me sound like a terrible American, but here's the thing. They have made their priorities very clear. Money. There's one priority. It's not helping the nation heal with a return to baseball in America's pastime. It's not finding a solution that works for everyone. Their priority is not getting back to the game they love, which is fine. It's a business. I love what I do too. But I wouldn't allow my employer to take advantage of me if that's what I thought was happening. I also wouldn't air my grievances for the entire world to hear. They both look like spoiled, rotten children, both sides. And I just don't care anymore. Your priority is money. Fine. My priority is getting as many baseball games as possible, as quickly as possible, so we have a live team event on a daily and nightly basis. I don't care how much money you're making or how much money you're losing. I know you want to play baseball because that's the only way you get paid. So let's play baseball then. Now, in the case of the NBA, it's more than likely that nothing is going to interrupt or hold up the plan that they have in place. Not sure if you followed what happened on Friday night, but Kyrie Irving, as well as Dwight Howard, Anthony Davis, there were a lot of players, Avery Bradley of the Lakers as well. There were a lot of players that were part of this conference call, not LeBron James or the other superstars. Okay, so remember they had their call a month ago. It's very elitist. They had their call a month ago and they were on board. They were unified. Yes, we all want to finish the season. Although it's kind of funny because in the case of the Warriors, they obviously are not finishing the season, but they want to return to basketball. Now, fast forward a month and this conference call on Friday night was about the airing of grievances. And I know that's a Seinfeld line and it sounds like I'm making fun. I'm really not. I think it's important for these guys to talk and to get together and to support one another, but also to have a soft place to land, to have a familiar, in this case, you know, dozens of ears, to have a familiar set of ears, people who are in the same boat as you, so that you can share and commiserate, but also get your questions answered. And according to multiple reports, there is a pretty loud group of players. I wouldn't say it's the majority. It's not even a large minority. But I guess it depends on what you read, how many players it is. Most are shying away from numbers. But it's a loud cross-section of players who are advocating a boycott, who believe that if the NBA players refuse to go to Orlando and refuse to finish the season, that makes a very loud statement about social injustice and police brutality and shows the NBA players as unified and powerful and willing to sacrifice something they care about to draw attention to what they consider to be a serious plight for African Americans in the United States of America. Okay, so this is their way, at least some of them, this was their way to kind of flex their muscles and draw attention, similar to what, you know, the NFL players have decided to do with the, I mean, depending on who you ask, nearly league-wide national anthem protests, at least to start the season. come September. But we'll get to that when we get to that. Interestingly enough, Kyrie Irving is not playing the rest of the year, so it would be much easier for him to sit out. That part is ironic. Dwight Howard, one of the Lakers, Avery Bradley, actually expressed his support for continuing to play. There was a Lakers insider who said late on Sunday that the Lakers are unified. I mean, LeBron James has been very vocal. That shouldn't surprise you. He wants to play because it's a real good shot for the Lakers to win a title and for LeBron to have another ring. So whether or not you believe it's all about the team, it's certainly about LeBron chasing yet another ring. Patrick Beverley of the Clippers tweeted, "Hey, if LeBron says he's hooping, then we're all hooping. Who are we kidding?" And so it doesn't look as though this will hold up the return to play, but maybe an opportunity for these guys to express themselves. There may be some players who decide not to report to Orlando. They don't like the optics. They don't like the situation. They don't want to be sequestered and lose their freedom for 6 weeks, whatever their concerns are. The players are not being penalized if they refuse to play. They don't get paid, but they're not losing a year of service. They're not they're not getting punished or disciplined. There's no repercussions, unless, of course, their employer decides not to re-sign them. But my point is they're not in any other way getting penalized by the league other than they don't get paid to play the rest of these games. But here is the other piece of it, which should tell you exactly how this happens moving forward, at least as a whole. The NBA players are not going to boycott. They're not going to refuse to show up, because if they do, the current labor deal gets tossed out the window. The owners have the right to forfeit their current bargaining agreement. And if they do that, players give up not only a deal that is very profitable for them, but they lose a lot of bargaining power moving forward. And the owners could lock them out and say, fine, you don't want to play now? Well, you don't get to play again until we say so and until we have a new labor deal. So there are far-reaching implications if they would choose not to show up in Orlando beyond making a statement, boycotting. And LeBron has indicated, along with others, that he believes playing gives him a greater platform for sharing his messages. He's got a very active social media presence, and he uses it to write about, to share, to put videos up about the causes that are important to him, about his feelings and his emotions. And he's a guy who can do both. I mean, he's a business conglomerate. He's a mogul. And so he can do all things all the time. He's got a lot of people who help him too. But again, it according to most, they're going to play. Even if a handful of players sit out and more expressed their reservations, they are going to play and move forward. And now it's about the logistics and the testing. And I mean, I've seen one report out there that indicates they're going to be tested every single day for the virus. Every single day. Wow. I mean, unless you're going to turn those tests around, and there is a specific lab in Utah that's going to be working just for the NBA and its test results. I mean, if all you do is go to the gym and then back to your hotel, well, you're still going to be tested 24 hours later, or in some cases, not even 24 hours later. And I don't know how quickly those tests are available, but they could get on the court then, and, you know, an hour after they get tested. So it's a lot. It's a lot of hoops to jump through. But at least at this point, that's what the NBA feels like is necessary, and that's what the Players Association wants as well, is mass testing every day to try to control the environment. When golf returned this weekend, they had 487 tests before they showed up at the Colonial in Fort Worth, all of them negative. Players, caddies, personnel, all negative. They then had to check temperatures and go through some other health and safety checks, but that was the only time they were tested for the virus once they showed up in Texas. So onward with sports, little by little here returning. Don't know when with Major League Baseball, but maybe we find out on Monday. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. It's good to have you on board. Hope you had a great weekend. I hope you're not as sore And by sore, I mean every muscle sore after your weekend as I am. Oh, goodness. Cleaning is not, it's calorie burning, but it's not enjoyable exercise. I'll tell you that much. Thanks for all of your tweets and your Facebook messages. You guys are very kind, and I do appreciate the empathy.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
The voice of Joel Sherman, a guest on our New York affiliate, WFAN. And he's talking to Howie Rose and Susan Waldman of the Mets and the Yankees. And he's saying that there's going to be a season mandated by the commissioner, certain number of games on behalf of the owners. And the players will show up, but they won't like it. Guess what? I don't care if they like it. There's no date, no doubt they're going to show up and play because that's what they do. Once muscle memory kicks in, once they get to where they want to go, once they get back on the field, a lot of their hard feelings will dissipate. Now, I'm not saying they're going to like the situation or that they're going to be happy with the number of games they're playing, but they're going to get their prorated salaries, which is what that was most important to them, and they're going to be doing what they're trained to do. So these guys are, many of them, masters at mentally focusing and putting everything else behind them, whether on a pitcher's mound or whether in the batter's box. It all gets quiet. Theoretically, everything slows down, and they have myopic focus on one thing. Throwing that curveball, throwing the fastball, locating it right, the catcher's mitt, or waiting for the right pitch, swinging the way that they want to, placing that ball. I mean, these are, we're talking swing thoughts here, pitch thoughts and swing thoughts, and everything else goes away. Once they get on the field, that's what's going to happen. So I don't care about the labor fight anymore. I've already said it's tone deaf. I'm done hearing the gory details. I can't wait until Rob Manfred says, time to play ball. Let's go. Because according to the players, that's all they want. Great. Well, then we're all on the same page. Yay. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Before Rob Manfred jumps in and makes that move, I guess there are other options. And Jim Bowden, who is a longtime front office executive, is also now an analyst on CBS Sports HQ, and he laid out the three options for owners this week.
This is what they can do. Number one, they can send a proposal back to the union with full prorated salaries and try to actually get an agreement. And if they get an agreement, the purpose would be that neither side would file a grievance afterwards and drag the game through an ugly process. Number two, they could make their fourth bad offer to the players if they wanted to, and they could do it with the intent of a delay tactic. In other words, if they're planning on implementing a schedule of 48 to 52 games, they don't want to implement it now because look how stupid baseball would look when you look at the clock and you can see that reasonably 70 games can be played right now. So they could do that. That's number two. Or number three, Major League Baseball could just go ahead and implement the season on Monday. So they'll do one of the three tomorrow, and you know we'll wait and find out which one they do.
Jim Bowden Sunday on CBS Sports HQ, which would make today the day of reckoning, correct? 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's sponsored by Geico. Geico has introduced the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page, we're asking you your interest in golf's return to play this weekend. And along those same lines, for those of you who never really watched UFC or never watched a NASCAR race, but did tune in because it was a live sporting event, did that same draw exist for you and golf? You may not have thought it was as high profile, and I guess if we're only talking about four names, Tiger, Phil, who was at the Colonial this week, along with Peyton, no, he wasn't golfing, and Tom Brady, who's busy meeting with all of his teammates. Distance, I'm sure. Anyway, if that was a golf match that you tuned into, but this wasn't really up your alley, so you thought, there were 15 of the top 20 players in the world that were there in Fort Worth, and now they move on to, I think it's Hilton Head, South Carolina. And so without fans, a little bit odd, And yet golf lends itself more to that type of an atmosphere. The only time I really missed it was either when they had an aerial shot and you could see how empty the course was, or when there were, you know, these big putts or missed putts and there was no, ooh, or like, ooh, that kind of a thing, that kind of collective reaction. Every now and then, because there were a few fans that were either sitting, you know, on private property that lined the golf course or were standing along the chain link fence outside the course, you could hear, which I thought was even weirder. Weirder than hearing nothing was hearing two people clapping after the big made putt by Daniel Berger at the end. So it takes some getting used to, but haven't we said that about pretty much everything in 2020? Man, this takes some getting used to. It's definitely not what we expected. Also, I put a photo up of my moving partner. Clearly, moving is very exhausting, and she's got no energy left. So you can check that on either Twitter or Facebook. There's nothing else in the house except for me, the dog, and our radio equipment, but, you know, she goes where I go. Matt Adams of the Golf Channel is coming up next. We'll get his perspective about the Colonial and the return of the PGA Tour.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
That is the voice of the Colonial champion in 2020, Daniel Berger, who survives the first hole of sudden death and does it when his opponent misses what appeared to be a gimme. No such thing in golf, right? No such thing in sports, but a 6-foot birdie putt for the win. And there was no one there to go, oh, that was missing for sure. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. And that's Daniel Berger on CBS. The broadcast also adapting to this strange and weird and wonderful return of the PGA Tour. And we are pleased to welcome back Matt Adams from the Golf Channel and Fairways of Life Radio. Matt, you're our only, to this point, repeat guest since I started working from home. How about that?
It's good to be with you then. How are you, Eddie?
I'm good. Thanks so much for a couple of minutes this morning. So what was your reaction? What did you think about the week?
I absolutely loved it. I know there was a lot of trepidation, a lot of questions being asked of what it would be like to have a sporting event with no fans there. But I was never really that concerned about it because the nature of golf is such that when you have a camera frame and you train onto a player and you're framing them up to hit a shot, you don't always see a lot of the gallery or the fans anyway. You have a head-on shot of them hitting the shot. Normally the camera follows the ball through the air, and then it tries to follow it in the proximity to the hole. Unlike, say, you know, basketball, where literally every single camera angle is draped by a painted backdrop of human beings. In this case, we didn't have that. So we saw the golf course. It was green and lush and beautiful as it is, and all said and done, for those of us sitting at home and having golf back at its highest tier, I think it was worth the trade-off. I think it's certainly fun having fans on site. But all told and by every measure, I think it was a massive, massive success.
So Jay Monahan says the same thing. He called it a phenomenal start to our return. What made it phenomenal?
I think a number of things made it phenomenal. One is that you're going to get the official record ratings as the days progress, not only for CBS on the network side, but also on Thursday, Friday, and early coverage for us on Golf Channel, and then also for PGA Tour Entertainment, which is part of the PGA Tour itself, is also a division of on their media side, and they have what they call PGA Tour Live. So they're doing early coverage that was starting at 7:45 Eastern each day last week. So that's also going to have record numbers. So one, it shows you that there's an appetite out there for golf. Two, there's an appetite out there for sport, and they were able to satisfy that appetite. So that's an unqualified success from that standpoint. The other side of it is what happened competitively. You hope that the best players in the world will show up and will contend and will be a part of the mix. Well, Amy, this was basically the popular table at high school. They were virtually all there. These were all the boys next door, save for Bryson DeChambeau, who was checking tickets at the door. I mean, this was a huge group. Two lettermen were missing, granted, that they didn't play well enough to be there, and that was Brooks Koepka and Dustin Johnson, and Ricky Fowler missed the cut, too. That's the way it goes with those. But other than that, it was the popular table. Now, Rory didn't have a great final round, but we had a great final round in that we ended up going to a playoff. Colin Morikawa, one of the new young guns on tour, only 23 years old, but then you look at a veteran, really, in Daniel Berger, already a two-time winner on tour. He's only 26, and he broke through again, and it was great. Actually, last week on Morning Drive, they said, who's your dark horse to win? I said, Daniel Berger, and they all looked at me and laughed. So what are you talking about, Daniel Berger? But he had a run coming into this in which he tied ninth at the Waste Management Phoenix Open, tied fifth at the AT&T Pebble Beach, tied fourth at the Honda Classic. He had been injured. It was an injury he sustained in 18 at the Travelers Championship. It was actually an injury to his finger, but he thinks because of the way he was compensating his swing, it moved up into his wrist. And it took him the last year and a half to heal, to get over that. He tried to come back. It was too soon. It got worse. So now he's okay, and now he's playing, obviously, with his full vigor again, and he ends up coming away with the victories. And so to go into a playoff with the first event back, I mean, you couldn't script it better than if Tiger Woods himself was playing out there and say he went into a playoff with Phil Mickelson or Rory McIlroy or somebody. That's the only way I could see it have done better than what it actually did.
Matt Adams from the Golf Channel and Fairways of Life Radio with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. And I'm glad you said that, because I was going to set you up, put the ball on a tee, and let you hit it out of the park by asking you about your prediction of Daniel Berger. But here's my question, though, Matt. These guys have been off the golf course in competitive fashion for 3 months. Why did you think he was going to be able to carry it over?
One, because I thought he would have benefited from the time off to get even stronger. He clearly had his game back on pace with the numbers that I just gave you for the finishes that Daniel Berger had. Daniel Berger's a fighter. His father at one time was a top 10 tennis player in the world. And he's got this, he's from South Florida, he's got this kind of grittiness to him. He's part of that famed high school class of 2011 that includes Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth, and ironically Xander Schauffele, who was in the mix until a late double bogey on 17, or a bogey on 17, I beg your pardon, and then he came within 3 inches of a birdie at 18 to make the playoff. So he's part of that class. In a lot of ways, he was kind of a forgotten member of that class. He's got a quirky swing that is all his own. But, you know, a lot of the vets, especially the Lee Trevinos of the world who had his own quirky swing, will tell you, watch out for the guy with a quirky swing, because normally that's a guy who truly owns his golf swing. And Daniel Berger does. He owns his golf swing. He's got great confidence in himself. And like I said, he's kind of got this kind of street vibe about him, this grittiness about him, that he's not there just for the show. He's not there just for the flash. He's there to compete, and he wants to slice your throat. So that's why I had the feeling that he would perform well this week, and I thought it'd be a good venue for him, because he's a good ball striker when he's on form, and he was on form.
The PGA Tour tested 487 people for the virus. All the tests came back negative, which I think is incredible. But now they leave that Fort Worth bubble-ish. They weren't necessarily sequestered, but they leave that area and they move on. What's the process now? I'd heard something about them all chartering to the next event. I mean, what happens at this point?
It's not all of them, but the tour would love to see it be all of them. It's a high percentage of the players and the caddies that are on this private jet. The tour is charging them for it. I think it's $300 for a player to get on the plane, and it's $600 for a player to get on a plane and $300 for their caddy. And I think they're assuming the player's going to pick up the tab for both of them. But what happens is before they're even allowed on the plane, because the tests that they have now come back very quickly. So everybody that was planned in that charter, whether you made the cut or not, Amy, you committed for that charter. So you were hanging around in Fort Worth for a couple of days. But everybody gets tested on Saturday to make sure that they're clean to get on the plane this morning. And then that plane goes to the next tour event. So the testing has been rigorous. It was encouraging, obviously, that no one was tested positive for the coronavirus. But on the other side of it, in fairness and balance this conversation, the Korn Ferry Tour, which is the AAA of the PGA Tour, was played in Ponte Vedra Beach, and they had three caddies and a player that tested positive, but they were able to catch them through the safety net, which is why they've done these levels of caution. They caught them in the safety net before they even left their houses.
Oh, good.
So when they were tested at home, the test came back and they said, don't show up. You've got the coronavirus, sequester and get healthy. And if you need help, you tell us. so the system, from that standpoint, it's very encouraging. The system is working. And what I think is really interesting about it is that Jay Monahan, as you mentioned, the commissioner of the PGA Tour, he said that he's in constant contact with other sports leagues and he expects a lot of phone calls to be made early this week. Isn't that interesting that it's becoming a template?
Right. It's a litmus test. And in every sport and every event that returns, the other commissioners, the other sports are watching to see what works and what's necessary. Matt Adams with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. The question has been coming. I've had a phone call about it even. Where and when will we see Tiger Woods, Matt?
You know, that's always a good question. Where and when will we see Tiger Woods? That could be a title of a book, to tell you the truth. We thought we were going to see him this week at the RBC Heritage, which is up at Hilton Head. The reason why is, and this is kind of the world of you know, reading shadows on the cave walls, that is Tiger Woods. His huge yacht left its dock in Florida and through manifest was destined for Hilton Head. So everyone thought, okay, Tiger's massive yacht is going. Lots of times when he's someplace that's near the water, he stays on his own yacht. He did it at the U.S. Open when it was on Long Island, in fact. And so his boat was on its way to Hilton Head. They figured, sure, he's going to play, and he'll just hang out on his yacht. And no, the deadline was 5 p.m. on Friday, and it came and went, and there was no Tiger Woods on there. The one place that we do know with great certainty that he's going to play will be at the Memorial. Now, what's interesting is that when the John Deere Classic canceled, the tour said, gee, what are we going to do? In the light of caution, they said, where are we going to go? What event are we going to fill that week with? They decided to have a tournament, a full-on PGA Tour tournament at Muirfield Village the week before the Memorial. So you're going to have this tournament at Muirfield Village, then the Memorial. So the first tournament will not have a gallery there. The second one, the governor of Ohio is allowing them to have fans on site, but it has to be tightly structured and it's going to be, you know, reduced numbers, et cetera. So whether Tiger plays in the lead up events is the big question to me. I'm very confident he's going to play in the main card, but I have a pretty good feeling if there's no fans on site, it's the same tournament that you're going to be playing. Why not go out there, even if you call it a test run, but it isn't a test run. It's a full-fledged PGA Tour event, but why not play both? So I think that we could get a dose of a couple of weeks of Tiger Woods if I was guessing.
Interesting. Also interesting, and it, as you point out, they're all really, I don't want to say making it up as they go, but they're trying to figure it out because there's no blueprint, so it's a trial by error almost. You can find Matt on Twitter at Matt Adams FOL, Fairways of Life, and his show is Monday through Friday, 8 o'clock Eastern, also on demand whenever you need it on fairwaysoflife.com, plus the Golf Channel. Matt, it's always good to have you. I'm glad that you're doing well. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes.
Always a pleasure, Amy. See ya.
So Matt is a guy that I've known even before he was working for Golf Channel and doing his radio show. Used to be the general manager of a golf course that I would frequent in Rhode Island, Newport, Rhode Island, when I was working and living in Providence. And he's always been really smart, great to talk to about golf. And he's an equipment specialist and has a couple of books out there. So I'd highly recommend following Matt and listening to his show as well. Now, if you're interested in what happens from this point forward, you can join Michael Breed as he tees off on the top headlines in the world of golf. Watch Course Record with Michael Breed tonight, 11 p.m. Eastern. That's 8 p.m. Pacific on the CBS Sports Network. On Twitter, A-Law Radio for me, also on our Facebook page. And a lot of you are responding about the level of interest for the Colonial this weekend. Kelly on Facebook, we watched it and we thought it was a competitive tournament, missing baseball, though. Yeah, I mean, I get it. This is not baseball. It's not the NBA. I mean, there are certain fans that I think will tune in because they are just so anxious for live sporting events. But you know something else that has become more of a theme that I've seen from you on our social media is you realize that you can actually survive without live sports. It's crazy what we think we can't live without until one day it's taken away from us. And then we recognize we're just fine. And I don't think it has to be that way with sports. There's no right or wrong answer. There's no right or wrong way for you to live your life when it comes to live sporting events. It's I've always said it's better to play and to compete than to watch. And so I still enjoy, I'd rather play golf myself than watch golf on TV. Obviously, rather be doing a lot of things than sitting in front of a TV. It just happens to be a necessary part of my job. But I think that's kind of something that we could talk about maybe this week on the show. Is that a situation that you found yourself in where you don't have sports to watch? And so you kind of realize, hey, I didn't need it as much as I thought I did. Now, that doesn't help in my job, so I'm glad you're still tuned in. I prefer that you have an addiction. No, I'm just kidding. I don't. Thank you so much for all your kind words about the move, your jokes on Twitter and Facebook. We're back tonight. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.